Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our lesson yesterday, we talked about a real man. Today, we want to talk about a great woman. In 2 Kings chapter 4, it tells us of a woman who is called great. The 8th verse reads, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunem, where there was a great woman." Now, the name of this woman is unknown, being only identified by the area where she lived, the Shunammite woman. Just what all might be included in the term great, we cannot precisely know. It may well refer to her prominence in that area. It may be that she was wealthy. But as we read about her, there are certain spiritual qualities that are revealed that would qualify her to be called great. They're not always considered great by the world, but they're considered great by a God. As we consider them, we need to compare ourselves to her, and probably we shall discover areas where we can make improvement. Now, this woman lived to do good for others. She was one who lived to serve others, obviously an unselfish person who really cares for the welfare of others. In this case, we see Elisha, God's prophet, as he passed through the city, as he often did. He would be dependent on the people of the area where he was for his livelihood, his food and shelter and other necessities. At this particular time in Israel's history, the prophets of God were not among the most wanted and popular people. The nation was demoralized by worship of Baal and wicked living. God's prophet, expressing God's rebuke for such things, meant that few people really cared for them or even wanted them around. Fewer still would risk showing kindness and consideration. But this woman, she recognized Elisha as a holy man of God, verse 9. "And as he came through the village, she constrained him to eat bread, offering hospitality and provision, rest for the weary servant of God." You see, she used her material goods for others, bestowing kindness on one who was deserving. She showed her love and respect for God by holding up the hands of the prophet of God, assisting the prophet of God. You see, it was her suggestion that she and her husband, who obviously shared her concerns, built a special room and furnished it so it could be used by the prophet whenever he was passing by. Now, this is thoughtfulness and consideration being manifested. She was like an Old Testament Dorcas who was busy doing good things for other people. Surely people are great in the eyes of the Lord who are like that, because Jesus said that those who served would be the greatest, and doing good for those that love God is doing good unto God, Matthew 25 and verse 40. And she should be considered great because she was contented with her lot in life. It might be expected Elisha, upon receiving this support, wanted to show favors in return. He sent a message by his servant Gehazi, "Behold, thou hast been careful for us in all of this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" You see, Elisha was in a position to return that favor. He was inquiring what was it that she would like to have. Well, her response tells us something about her character. She simply said, "I dwell among my own people." In other words, she was content as she was. She had not done these things for Elisha in order to receive some benefit in return for herself. But like the psalmist, she felt that her cup runneth over. She had no ambitions and sought no glory or fame or reward for her service. How different she was from so many today who seem to be never content with the good that they can do, but they always seek something more and better and grandeur for themselves. They never really considered that they have done a duty and obligation to give themselves on the behalf of others, but they only try to use others to secure more of what they want. Now, we do not suggest that she was in a state of stagnation. It was not that she had no desires whatever. She earnestly wanted a child. But she had her husband's love and her home and her chance to do good, and she didn't complain, she didn't murmur about sacrificing. Well, the prophet made her glad when he informed her that God would be gracious to her and her husband and bless them with a son. And in time, a son was born. And through that son, we're able to see some other sterling qualities in the life and the character of this Shunammite woman, this great woman. This woman knew how to stand strong in the storm. She exercised self-control and faith in God and virtues that go hand in hand. You see, this son grew to some size, and he was in the field with his father, but he became sick, and he was taken to his mother, where her love and skill did all that she could for him. Nevertheless, the son died. Tragedy had invaded that home. And this great lady demonstrated control and faith in her hour of grief. She laid the son's body aside, and without any indication of self-pity or resentment or bitterness or rashness, she displayed a sober and mature action. She sent for her husband and requested transportation quickly to Mount Carmel, that was the home of the prophet Elisha. Her husband thought it strange, seeing it's not a regular time of worship, such as the new moon or the Sabbath day. And this brief remark indicates that it was the custom of this woman to be a worshiper of God and a faithful attendant at worship duties. Her response to her husband was, however, "It shall be well." Now there was need for haste and not delay. She assured her husband that everything was going to be all right. She had that kind of faith. Evidently she had so conducted herself before him that he had full faith and confidence in her, because he didn't ask any further questions. Respecting her proven judgment, knowing her to be worthy of trust, he provided transportation for her. You see, this great woman had attained two goals that it seems that every man and every woman ought to seek. She wanted to be acceptable before God, and she had the love and the confidence and respect of her mate. She had learned through living to strive for things that really matter, rather than the frivolous, trite, paltry decorations of the secular and materialistic world. But another quality we see in her, she was a person of energetic action, as well as submission to God. As she approached Mount Carmel, she met Gehazi, Elisha's servant, and he asked her, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" Her answer was simply, "It is well." Now, even though she was in sorrow and grief on a mission of concern for her child, she was submissive to what she could not change, but she was active in changing whatever could be changed. She offered no complaints. There was no whining. There was no distrust. There was no grumbling over the misfortune. There was no wringing of her hands in panic, but a calm and serene dignity in the face of the worst storm of her life. Now, we might focus attention on passing on Gehazi's question momentarily. "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" 2 Kings 4:26. It seems to me that this is a question every wife and mother ought to be considering. Many women are so concerned about being what they call liberated and becoming a free and independent person that they have either neglected or altogether abandoned their sacred responsibilities to their husband and to the child and to the home. Our society has become so career-conscious for women that the primary purpose of a woman's existence has been shoved into the background, sometimes pushed out of the picture completely. Some women have become more sinful and secular and self-seeking, misguided. It is evident that many will continue in this perverted pathway because they've been fed the garbage of Satan. You've come a long way, baby. Well, they sure have, but for many, they don't realize the direction they have gone. They've acted more like degenerate people rather than women that God would have them to be. But this great woman from Shunem, she was one who had concern for her family first and foremost, and that's because she had that faith in God. You see, when she met Elisha, she told him what had taken place, and she urged him to come and do whatever he could. Well, possibly she sought nothing more than the presence of a friend and a man of God at a time of distress. She also knew him to be a man of miracles. Nothing would suffice except Elisha return home with her. So Elisha arose and went to the house. He found the child. He called upon God to raise the child, and the child's life was restored. And then the child was given to the mother. This woman, seeing the child alive again, bowed herself to the ground with submissive thanksgiving for what had been done. Yes, this great woman was a person of strong faith and of a steady disposition, a fervent piety, one that worshipped God, one who was the keeper of the home. She was a woman who was self-reliant, but she was trustworthy. She was grateful, she was wise, she was kind, she was considerate, she was helpful to others. What else could describe her except the word great? Now, dear friend, this woman of whom we read in the Old Testament, her grave is unmarked, her name is unknown, but her life still shines brilliantly, does it not, down through the ages? And the benefits even unto us today? How much better would this world be if more and more women would be like this Shunammite woman, who would strive to develop these kind of qualities in their life and in their character, and who would demonstrate these good things about themselves? She put her faith in God. She put the welfare of her family before everything else. It is a wonderful thing that God has given woman to man to be his help, his companion, suitable unto him. And women can be such a tremendous and great influence. It is certainly that she was a great influence upon her husband. He and his association with her had learned to trust her. He had confidence in her decisions. He knew that he could count on her to do the things that were wise. And therefore, when she called upon him to assist her, without questioning, he simply did what she requested. She had developed that. She would have always had that, but she had developed that. So this unmarked woman, this unnamed woman, who lived back in the days of the law of Moses, what a great person she was. Now you keep in mind, as the Apostle Paul had said, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. Cannot we learn from this Shunammite woman? Can we not take these good things from her and try to implant them into our own lives, whether we be men or women? Well, this is a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.